Chapter 10. Waiting. It was almost 1 o'clock by the time Nat got everything into the house. There was only an hour left until the tide turned. He went round the house, putting new planks over the windows upstairs, then downstairs. He also climbed up onto the roof and put heavy boards over the tops of the chimneys, except for the big one. He looked around the countryside. It was freezing cold, but nothing was moving. No planes in sight to help them, or ships out at sea. "It's always the same with the authorities," he thought to himself. "They're never prepared. But how could anybody be prepared for this?" Then something caught his eye. Something was moving. The seagulls. They were rising from the sea. The birds in the fields also started to rise in one group, flying up into the sky. The tide had turned again. Nat climbed down his ladder and went inside the kitchen. It was a little after 2 o'clock, and his wife was preparing lunch. He locked the door, put up the barricade, and switched on the oil lamp. His wife poured the trig soup into 4 bowls, cut several slices of bread, and put them on the table. They had enough food and coal to last a few days. After the meal, Helen and the children would help him put things away neatly. It would keep them busy for a while, and they would be tired enough to sleep. But soon, the noises began again at the windows and at the door. The birds were back, pushing for position on the windowsills. Nat heard the first sounds of the bigger birds against the walls and the door. The smaller birds were at the windows now. He recognized the sound of their wings and their beaks tapping on the wood. The hawks concentrated on the door. Nat listened to the attacking beaks and the tearing sound of splintering wood. He understood it clearly now. The birds were all united in one basic instinct: to battle and destroy the human population. But why? "I think I'll have a beer," he said to his wife. He knew that there was only one bottle left, but he thought, "Yes, it's time for that beer." And then, when he'd brought it and poured it into a glass, he turned his chair and looked at the fire in the fireplace, watching it burn. There was nothing to do now but wait.